Verse number 12 for us adults, and let's stand if you're able. If you're not, I definitely understand. John chapter number 8, picking up where we left off last week, talking about our stand for Jesus, standing for Jesus. And it's a blessing and an encouragement that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to stand for him and stand complete in him. John chapter number 8. And verse number 12, we're also going to quote John 14:6. Many of you should know that one already. The theme all month and last month has been standing for Jesus. And more importantly, we're talking about right now, standing for Jesus because of the life that he gives us. And John's gospel talks about life 38 times. And there's different types of life. The most important is eternal life and, of course, everlasting life. But then there's an abundance of life that he gives us. There's the bread of life that we have, the water of life. And today we started last week talking about Jesus is the light of life. And that's what we're going to finish up with today. And what a blessing it is. John chapter 8, verse number 12. If you're there with me, let's read that together. And then we'll quote John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you. John 8, 12, let's read that together. Here we go. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then John 14, 6, if you need to go over there, go over there. If not, you can quote that, John 14, 6. And we've been accenting the part of him being the life. John 14, 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's what we've been talking about, the life that we have in Jesus Christ. And over the past month, we've talked about just standing for Jesus. And by the way, when we're talking about standing for Jesus, I'm not talking about just physically standing up, because you can stand for Jesus sitting down. Amen. Spiritually speaking, though, we're talking about standing for Jesus, sticking up for him, putting his name out there and talking about what he's done in your life and in my life. And eternal life, we've talked about that. That's why we can stand. Everlasting life is perpetual life. That's why we can stand. But he also gave us the light of life, the light of life. It enables you and I to see, and it helps others to see as well. And that's what we want to finish talking about this morning, the light of life. Father, bless now in the next moments that we have together. I pray that your hand may be upon us as we finish up this area, looking at Jesus as the light of life. And Lord, I pray that as we go throughout this study today and see what Jesus Christ has done in our lives, that Lord, you might be magnified and we might be the light that you have called us to be. And Lord, walking in the light, because you are truly in the light. Thank you, Lord God, that you said in him is no darkness. And Lord, you are light. Speak to our hearts now. There's one today without Christ. Open the heart of that man, woman, boy, or girl, that they would receive eternal life, that perpetual life, that everlasting life, Lord, being saved from their sin in that place called hell, Lord, to inherit eternal, everlasting, and perpetual life. Speak to us now, Lord. Open up our hearts. Holy Spirit, anoint our hearts that we may hear, and Lord, our ears that they may be open, and Lord, anoint my lips that I may speak, thus saith the Lord. Lord, bless now the next moments that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Miss Antoinette has our special this morning. a blessing it is that he does make us new. You know, I didn't really care. Well, let me stop that. I did care a lot about the old Greg Dawson that I used to be. Amen. I cared a whole lot about him. But when I got the new Greg Dawson, man, I'm ashamed of the old Greg Dawson. I'm just absolutely ashamed. Now, before the new Greg Dawson, I thought the old Greg Dawson was pretty good. You know, you say, who's the Greg? The pastor, amen. You say, who is that person, amen? Pastor Dawson. Before I got saved, I thought the old man was pretty good. I mean, he dressed good, he smelled good, he looked good, he walked good. Gregory, he played basketball good before he got hurt, amen. And I thought he was good. But then I saw Jesus. And I found out how bad he really was. And I found out that I had to put that old man to death. And I found out that I had to receive the new life in Christ and get the new man. And once I put on the new man, I looked back at that old man. I thought, boy, was he bad. Boy, was he in bad shape. Boy, was he just out there. Brother Sham, I'm not on. I'm not mute. He's trying to follow me with this. I found a difference when I went back here. Amen. And so when I got the new man, I thought, praise God. That's what I'm talking about, being born again. Amen. Jesus is the light of life, as we see here in John chapter 8 and verse 12. And I tell you, one day he touched me. This adulterous woman was touched as well, as we saw last week. And we're talking about the life that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Now, the life that he wants us to live. You and I can stand for Jesus. Our theme all year long has been be able to stand, be able to withstand, having done all to stand therefore, and we can stand in Jesus. We should stand in Jesus. Colossians told us we are complete in him. And so I can stand in Christ because I'm complete in him. I have everything I need in him. And what a blessing it is to be complete in Christ. And then he gives us this eternal life, this everlasting life. And as we see now, this light of life. 16 times John talks about light in his gospel. And it gives us power to see in this life. Jesus does that. We looked at verses 1 through 12 last week where the religious leaders brought this adulterous woman to Jesus. And they tried to set him up. They tried to trick him and trap him. But they only bought half of the party. They bought the woman trying to make Jesus look bad. And the Jewish leaders who tried to trick and trap Jesus, he put them to shame in verses 1 through 11. Then in verse 12, Jesus directs the adulterous woman in a new way of life with the light that repels darkness. Notice what he tells her in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again to them, not just to her, but to them. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me should not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That was a command giving to the adulterous woman to follow him, as well as everybody else listening to follow him. By the way, you're either following Jesus Christ or you're not. Amen. Well, preacher, isn't there a gray area in between? There is not. Just like there's no difference between light and dark. Amen. It's either light or it's dark. There's one or the other. Amen. And so we're looking at Jesus is the light for life. And that's what we started last week. By the way, when he says the light of the world, light there means to shine or make manifest or to be illuminous. You know, there's nothing worse than not having light when you need it. How many of y'all ever been guilty of waking up at night to go and get a drink of water or something like that? And you hit your toe on the edge of the bed because it's dark. Or worse than that, one of your children leaves a sharp object on the floor, one of their toys, one of their baby dolls, and you step right on that thing, and man, you look and you don't see anything, you turn the light on, and there it is. I've been there before, amen. And nothing is worse than hitting baby toe. When you hit baby toe makes you just cringe, and you pull baby toe back. And you know, if you break baby toe, there is no surgery to fix baby toe.
No, there's not.
It's just pain.
Ouch.
Or if you break big toe. It is just something that light does. It illuminates. How many of y'all keep night lights on at night so you can see your way around? Amen. That's helpful. Amen. It's very, very helpful. We've got all these little computer gadgets and they all give out a little luminous glow. And it helps you navigate around. And so we're talking about light. Jesus said, I am the light
of the world. So in other words, Jesus said, I'm the illumination for everybody to see. Why? Everybody's in darkness. Until we get saved. We're in darkness. Well, preacher, I'm not in darkness. I can see pretty good. Jesus said, you better be careful that that light in you is not darkness. Amen. Amen. And oh, how dark it can be if it is. And so that's what we're talking about here. Jesus is light for this life. We saw Jesus is light for the darkness of this life last week. And then we also saw that Jesus is light for the deeds of this life last week. You and I don't really know how dark darkness is in sin until we get saved. Now, I knew sin was bad, but I didn't recognize how bad it was until I saw Jesus. When I saw Jesus, I recognized how bad it really was. And what it cost him. And what it was going to cost me. The ignorance of sin had blinded me to the point that I thought I was okay. I thought that if I just did some of the right things, like go to church, read a Bible, give some money, get baptized, try to do the right thing, turn over a new leaf or be kind, that would get me out of darkness and into the light. But that's still darkness. Because all our righteousness is as filthy rags for the Lord. And so light needed to come in because of the darkness of my life. But then light also had to come in because of the deeds of my life. The things that I did were not good. And I've said this before, let me say it again. I'm afraid that the overwhelming problem in many churches is that we have too many church members that are not saved. I said it before, and I believe that with all my heart. I believe we have well intentions and we believe we're okay. But if somebody doesn't get in your face and challenge you about your soul, you won't get saved. Say, preacher, I'm not that bad. I didn't say you were all that bad, but the book says you're a sinner. Well, preacher, I don't think my sin ought to take me to hell. That's not between me. That's between you and God, because God says differently. And until somebody challenges you, like someone challenged me, said, how are you sure you're going to heaven? Well, I do pretty good. That's not in the book. Well, I got baptized. That's not in the book. What am I saying? That was darkness of my life. Those were the deeds that I had. That was the darkness that I had until someone had to illuminate me with the light of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is his name. And they said, look, he died for your sins. And it's either him or you. Now, he already died, so you don't have to. And so we talked about the deeds of this life. And I'm afraid that so many creep into the church and they make a false profession of faith. And we've even had people leave this church only to get saved when they got to another church. So I know that that is a true statement that I make when I say there are too many members of churches around the world that are not saved, and they create problems because they're in darkness and they have the deeds that match it, and they come to church on Sunday, they come to church on Wednesday, and they put up a front, they put on a disguise, and they try to act spiritual, but they have no light. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Say, preacher, are you talking about this church? I'm talking about every church. Every church. Anybody can say they're saved. Anybody can say I'm born again. Anybody can say I'm going to. Anybody can say I repented of my sins. But what does your heart tell you? What does the book expose? I read a devotion this week. It's called Inside and Out, talking about John chapter 3, verses 3 and 7, where Jesus said, "Accept a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." And it says this. A few years ago, a publisher made a big mistake. A book had been on the market for several years, and so it was time for a makeover. The author rewrote the book to bring it up to date. But when the revision was published, there was a problem. The publisher gave the book a nice new cover, but printed the old book inside. The exterior was fresh and new, but the interior was old and out of date. This reprint was not really new at all. It goes on to say sometimes that kind of thing happens with people. They realize a change needs to be made in life. Things are heading in the wrong direction. So they may put on a new exterior without making a vital change in their heart. They may change a behavior on the outside, but may not realize that it is only God who can change us on the inside. Amen. Goes on to say in John chapter 3, Nicodemus sensed that because Jesus came from God, he offered something very different. What Jesus told Nicodemus made him realize that he offered nothing short of a rebirth. He needed to be born again, to be made totally new. And that change comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. Not just the outside, but the inside needs to be changed. Think about your desires. Think about your wants. You know, you can often tell a young person if they're really saved or not. Say, preacher, how can you tell? When they get out from underneath mom and daddy, what do they do? Then their desires, their true desires, their true wants come. Oh, yeah, I can be under my parents' roof and I can go to church because my parents make me go to church. But when I get outside of my parents' home, when I get from under their roof, where do I go? What do I do? What do I want? What's my desire? What's my want? Is it Jesus? Or is it not? Now, I'm not saying just because they come out from under their parents' roof and don't go to church, they're not saved. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that you can tell what their desires and their wants are. If they want the world, that's where they will go. So we saw that Jesus is the light for this life. He's light for the darkness of this life's deeds, and he's light for the deeds of this life. Notice number two, Jesus left us as light in this life. Notice John 8:12 again. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And go over to John chapter 9 with me as well. Just flip over a page and notice what he says here. John chapter 9 and verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He healed the blind man here. And he said, as long as I'm here, I'm the light of the world. And of course, we know Jesus ascended back to the Father. He came to illuminate mankind. He came to show them the light of the world, which was himself. But Jesus then went back to glory and he left us as lights in this life. And when you come over to John chapter number 9, we find that Jesus is still here, but at the end of John's gospel, as the end of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find Jesus ascending. But notice what he says whilst he was still here. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Notice what Jesus says about us as lights, because he did something. When he saved us, he gave us the light of life as well. Jesus left us as lights in this life, and notice John chapter 5 and verse 14, he says this, ye are the light of the world. Now, Jesus just said he was the light of the world. So what happened? He put the light within us. And so you and I are now the lights of this world. And we have the capability. We have the capacity. We have the illumination in us to give others the way out of darkness and out of their deeds because of the light. Notice the comparison. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You say, preacher, how can someone see a little light? Who's my usher back here? Brother Sam, since you're up, can you turn off the lights for me right there? Yes. Now, you know, you can hardly see this little red light right here. But watch what happens when the light goes out. Whoa. You can see it pretty good now, can't you? Oh, turn it all the way off. Turn this light off. Whoa. And so that little red light, this little red light to my right over here, that green exit sign would represent the light of a Christian in a dark world. You stand out. You stick out. No matter how bright your light is, no matter how dim, it's still lighter than the darkness. Amen. And so you may say, well, my light is not as bright as the exit sign. It's only like the little red light up here on top. But guess what? It still shines in the darkness. Amen, Pastor. And so no matter how bright your light is or not, how bad or how small it is, how big it is, it's still a light. And Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. The green exit sign now is giving off quite a bit of light. And as you focus more on the green light and the red light, you have a little bit more illumination. Why? The green light is giving off light. The red light's giving off light. And so now you can see a little bit clearer because of its illumination. The red light over here to my left is doing the same thing. And you can't see a whole lot, but you know what you can see? The light.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
What am I saying here? Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Turn the light back on. Jesus left us as lights. He gave a comparison. He says, ye are the light of the world. Matthew 5:16. He gives a call. He says, then let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He says, I'm leaving you as a light. You're the light of the world. The comparison is like a city on a hill. The comparison is like lighting a candle and put it under a bushel. The call is, you are the light. And no matter if your light is that small, or this small, or that big, or this big, it's still a light.
Yes, sir.
And it still helps,
yes, sir,
in the darkness. Don't compare your light to someone else.
Amen.
You be the light that God has called you to be. Well, I don't shine as bright as that. God is not interested in you shining like anybody. He's interested in you shining like Him. Amen. So don't look at their lights may be artificial. Somebody say amen. Anybody can fabric and mimic and show you the Romans road, but have you been down the road? Do you have your own light? Notice Paul's encouragement over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. By the way, there's much darkness in this world, but Jesus is the light of life for the world. And he calls us to be lights too. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Paul gives the encouragement about light and darkness. Ephesians chapter number 5. And notice what he says in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. What should I do? Walk as children of light. Notice verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what? Darkness. But rather what? Reprove them. Notice verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the what? Light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is what? Light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Light. What am I saying here? He says, ye are the light of the world. Jesus left us as light in this life. And he says, I am the light of the world, but I'm leaving you as the light, and ye are the light of the world. So Jesus is light for life, and he left us as lights in this life, but his word also is light in this life. By the way, I don't know about you, but I got saved by the word of God. Amen. And that word is the same light as Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen. And that same light that is Jesus physically is Jesus in the print that we can see and we can read and we can have. And his word is light in this life. By the way, your life is a testimony and illumination to others, but the word of God is the best illumination you can give them. Amen. They can't get saved by your life, but they can sure get saved by the word of God. Amen. They can't get saved by your life, but they can get saved by the light of the word of God. Say, preacher, then what good is my light? It attracts them so that you can give them the light of life, which is Jesus Christ. It's a testimony to show them, I'm not like you. There's something different about me. I've got something that you don't have. I've got somebody that you don't know. Then they ask him, what do you have that I don't have? Say, preacher, how do you know that? Tony Wells, I tell you guys about him many times. Come in my office every day, and I would look at him, I say, he's got something that I don't have. He knows something that I don't know. He walks different. He talks different. There's something about him that's different from me. And I didn't know he was a Christian. But I knew there was something different about him. And the day that I came to the church to get saved, well, I didn't come to church to get saved. I came to church to get preached at, to get saved. Amen. Who do you think I saw at that church? Tony Wells. I said, that's what it was. He saved. And guess what? I got saved that day too. And I was praising God for Tony's testimony. I was praising God for his light. I was praising God for his life. Because I saw something in him that illuminated my darkness, that illuminated my deeds. And it showed me that even though I thought I was okay, and even though I said I was religious and that I read the Bible and that I wouldn't marry my wife unless she was religious, we were two lost puppies.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And that showed me something. What am I saying? His word is light in this life, just as well as he left us as lights in this life, and just as Jesus is light for this life. Our Lord gave us power to see spiritually in this life, and it starts with our being born again, or the new birth. 1 Peter 1:23 put it this way, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. My friend, you're saved by the word of God, or you're lost. Amen. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so his word gives us the light that we need as you and I walk and progress spiritually in this life. And by the way, there is no progress apart from the word of God in this life. Notice what his word does for our life. Number one, go to Psalm 119, 105 with me very, very quickly. Amen. Very quickly, we're going to get done with this. Psalm 119, 105. The word gives us light to see our path in life. 119 and go to 105. And many of you can quote this already. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What am I saying here? The word gives light to see my path. Many saints stumble in life because they can't see where they're going spiritually in this life. Brother, somebody get the lights again for me. Tony, you're closest. Get those lights for me back there. Now, when the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, what is it talking about? If you would, think of this light right here as my lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It illuminates my pathway. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Notice it only shows me how many steps at a time. One step at a time. God is under no obligation to give you step number 10 if you won't take step number one. Amen.
Amen.
Folks say, well, Lord, tell me my whole life. No, take the first step. Take the first step. Well, I want to know everything. Well, the first thing is be faithful. And the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let me show you how some Christians walk like this. And they're hitting stuff, hitting their knee, coming over here, bumping into this. Why? They're groping in darkness. When all they have to do is get the lamp and the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light under my path. God shows you step one, step two, step three. By the way, step one is get saved. Being born again. What's step number two? Get baptized. Amen. What's step number three? Get in a good fundamental church. Get grounded and get the light under your feet. Amen. Start learning how to read your Bible. Start learning how to pray. Start tithing. Amen. Start being faithful. Start doing some soul winning. Thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. But many Christians walk without light. And you know what you do? You revert right back to what you were before you got saved. Because you can't discern without God's spirit and without God's word. Thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. You know, when you've got light, you don't bump into things. Unless you're blind, amen?
Amen, Pastor.
But many Christians walk as if they have no light. They live their life, the word of God tells them to do something and they don't do it. And you think, what are they reading? What are they reading? I can use this up here as my light. The word gives light to see my path in life. Many saints stumble in this life because they can't see where they're going spiritually in this life. The second thing I want you to know is the word also gives light to the simple in life. Psalm 119, 130, you can't see it, but I'm going to read it for you just to prove a point. It says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Notice that. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Now, look at your Bible. What do you see? Nothing. Turn on the light. Now look at verse 130 again. Read it with me. The entrance of thy word giveth what? Light. What just happened? The lights weren't on and you couldn't see the word of God. The lights came back on and the entrance of the light gave you the ability to see. What am I saying? God gives us the ability to see by his word. And many people think, well, I don't need this old book. It's antiquated. It's outdated. It's not what it needs to be. I don't need this book, my friend. You are in error. You need this book. And you need to see this book. And you need to read this book. Oh, the heartaches that I hear from Christians that have made bad decisions because they didn't have the lamp, because they didn't have the light, because they didn't have the entrance of the word. And then you've got to come in and salvage their lives up and say, well, this is what you got to do. If you'd have done this in the first part, this wouldn't have happened. Countless number of times. The word also gives light to the simple. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It gives understanding unto the simple. The word simple means to be silly or seducible, foolish or naive or lacking in knowledge. How many of us know everything about God? None of us. And guess what we need? Knowledge of God. Simple means lacking in knowledge. Hosea would say it this way in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How many Christians are being destroyed because they don't know what God says? What am I saying? The word gives light to see my path in this life. The word gives light to the simple in life. But then thirdly, in Proverbs, the word gives light to steer in life. Go over to Proverbs real quick with me. Proverbs chapter number 6. In Proverbs chapter number 6, notice verse 23. Proverbs 6 and verse 23. And notice what it says here. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, or directions for life. What am I saying? Proverbs, the word gives light to steer in life, not just for the simple in life, not just see my path in life, but to steer in life. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, or gives me direction for life. Reproofs of instruction means to chasten someone or to chastise by words, to correct someone or reason with someone or to warn someone for instructions in this life. And oh, how we hate correction in life. Children hate to be told what to do sometimes. Amen. And guess what adults are? Big children. And oh, how adults hate to be corrected in life. Especially us men. Don't tell us we're lost. I'm not lost. Amen. As long as I got gas, I'm not lost. As long as there's a gas station around, I'm not lost. Isn't it bad, though, when your GPS goes out on your phone and you really are lost and you forgot your map? That's like getting in a dilemma and a jam and you got to make a quick decision and you have not hid the word of God in your heart. You can't find your way. Well, I know the Bible says something about this. But yeah, but what does it say? Hey, folks, you need to keep the roadmap of life with you all times. And you need to keep it handy because it's for the simple in life. It's to see my path in life. And it's to steer in life. There are a lot of lives ruined and wrecked because they were not steered by the word of God. And it's our light in this life. We train our children by correcting them. Giving them nurture and admonition, giving them care and correction. But then when God tries to correct us by the word of God, we balk at that. I know better. Oh, do you? If you knew better, you'd do better. Somebody say amen. Amen. If we knew better, we'd do better. To know better and not do better means that I am a D-U-M-M-Y. Because dummies don't do. Dummies have to be carried around. Now, when I say dummy, I'm not talking about a stupid person. I'm talking about a mannequin. Some of y'all look at it, you can't call me a dummy. I'm talking about a mannequin, amen. Well, I'm no dummy, I'm a mannequin. They don't do because they're dummies, they're mannequins. You have to dress them, you have to carry them, you have to make them up, you have to put a wig on them and all sorts of things. They're dummies, mannequins. And to know and don't do, then I'm a mannequin. Dummy, amen. trying to use a different word here, be politically correct. Amen. And folks, I'll be honest with you, I've been dumb a whole lot of times. I've been ignorant a whole lot of times. And it wasn't for lack of knowledge. I knew better. I just didn't do it. I knew better. And so he says down there, the commandment is a lamp and the law is light and reproves of instruction of the way of life. Correction is what we need. But correction oftentimes is not what we want. So we saw that not only is Jesus light for this life, he left us again as lights according to Matthew 5:16. You are the light of the world. His word is light in this life. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But then lastly, Jesus is light for the life to come. Oh, this is where it gets good. Amen. Turn to Revelations with me. Jesus is light for the life to come. Not only is he life in this world, but he's light in the life to come. Revelations chapter 21, and this is where it gets good. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to going to heaven. The book of Revelation tells us the future and the ultimate usage of light for eternal and everlasting life. And notice Revelations 21 and notice verse number 1. And I saw new heaven, new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And then notice verse number 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And then come down to verse 23. He describes what's going to be the makeup of the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem. And notice what he says in verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun. You know what that is? Light. Neither of the moon. You know what we get from the moon? A reflection of light to shine in it. For notice this, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Glory to God. We're not going to need any more light. We won't need the sun. We won't need the reflection of the moon. Why? God's going to lighten it with the Lamb of God, who is the light of the world. But guess what? He's the light of heaven too. Notice what it says in verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Come over to chapter 22 and verse number 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them what? Light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Jesus is the light of the world, but he is also the light for the world to come. And I don't know about you, I've got reservations for that world. I've got my name written down in the Lamb's book of life. Say, preacher, how'd you get it written down? I was covered in the blood. February 3rd, 1991, my deeds were exposed and illuminated. My darkness was exposed by the light of this world. And when my deeds were exposed, I didn't try to put on religious garbs. Say, preacher, why not? Because the exposing of my deeds and the exposing of my darkness left me naked and undone before a holy God. And I needed to be clothed with God's righteousness from the Lamb of God. And hallelujah, when I bowed my head and I told, Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm in need and desperate need of your salvation because I'm a sinner on my way to hell. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me of all sins. And when I turned from my darkness and my deeds to the delights of glory, I became born again. You say, preacher, what'd you do? I started taking one step at a time. I got baptized. I joined the church. I started getting more of the light. And albeit my light was probably smaller than that when I got started, I was determined to put more of Jesus in me so I could shine a little brighter. And the more I got of Jesus, the brighter I wanted to shine. But you know what? He's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. I'm not what I need to be. But oh, I praise God, I'm not what I used to be. What am I talking about? John said there's going to be no need of the sun, neither of the moon. The Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus is the light of life, and we are to be lights for this life. Jesus' word is our light in this life, and Jesus is the light for the life to come. And because we have the power to see spiritually in this life, we can and should stand for Jesus. Every one of us that has a light, no matter if it's a little one. What do the kids sing? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan put it out. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it. Shine it till Jesus come. I'm going to let it shine. What am I saying? People need to see our light. You and I can stand for Jesus because he is the light of life. He has left us to be lights for this life. He gave us his word for this life, and he is light for the life to come. My question is, do you have the light of Jesus Christ? If you have the light, let it shine. If you don't have the light, come let us show you how you can have the light of this world. Why be in darkness? If nothing else, the Holy Spirit illuminates your darkness, illuminates your deeds, and you'll be like me. Lord, I'm undone. I'm unclean. I'm in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and he wants to save you today. Christian, for you, just stand for Jesus. Stand with your light held up high. Be like the Statue of Liberty. Amen. Now, you don't have to boast about it. Just live for Jesus. Just live for Jesus, and you'll be like the Statue of Liberty. You'll be like that little bitty light up there. Everybody will be able to see because most people are in darkness. And that little bitty old light may be yours. But in a dark world, people can see it. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, the question is out there. Do we have life? Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question. Do you have Jesus Christ, the light of the world? And before you answer that, ask yourself, when did you receive the light of Jesus Christ? And let me warn you that it doesn't come by baptism or joining a church, taking of communion or giving to the church. It only comes by repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. If there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. It only comes through repentance of your sin and receiving of Jesus Christ. Do you have Jesus? And if you do have him, when did you get him? You may not know the exact date, but you should be able to close your eyes and see yourself bowing your head and asking for Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and to save you from that place called hell. Can you see that day? Can you see that moment? Can you see that time? Maybe you were 12, maybe you were 10, maybe you were 4, maybe you were 8, maybe you were 24, maybe you were 28. But you should be able to see that time. And my friend, when you got introduced to the light of this world, your darkness and your deeds should have decreased from that point. If your life is still the same, perhaps you did not receive the light of this world. Perhaps you didn't. I said before that many church members are not born again. Maybe that's you today. If you got a question about that, why don't you let us take a Bible and show you how you can get it settled? Why doubt and dwell in darkness and have deeds that don't go along with being born again when you can be saved today and know it and be sure? Lord, bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. Let's stand to our feet. Natasha is going to play a hymn of invitation. My question is this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? How are your deeds today? How's the darkness? Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Or preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Don't you want to be sure? Would you come? Would you come? How about it, Christian? Are you shining your light? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. How about it, Christian? Do you have Jesus Christ? Do you have the light of this world? Don't think you do. Know you do. Don't hope you do. Come and make sure you do. Let God speak to your heart. Maybe you're already saved. Maybe you should come and give a public testimony of your faith in Christ. If that's you, would you come? Or maybe there's one that's never been baptized after you've been saved. Maybe you should come. Would you come? Maybe there's one that needs to join the church today. Would you come? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. How about it? Let God speak to your heart. His word is light in this life. Jesus is light for the life to come. He left us as lights in this life. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. It's light to see my path in life. It's light to the simple in life. It's light to steer in life. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for being the light of life. Oh Lord Jesus, you've given us eternal life. You've given us everlasting life. You've given us light of life. You're the bread of life and you're the water of life. You've given us abundant life, so much life you've given us. And Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to stand for you. Lord, those of us, no matter how little our light is, let it shine till you come and take us home. Lord, help us to stay in your word that we can have light for our path and a lamp unto our feet. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, maybe there's one thinking and contemplating. Lord, don't let them leave today without getting that question settled. What must they do to inherit eternal and everlasting life? Thank you for loving us, Lord. I meet our need in Jesus' name. Amen. Just for a moment of tension, we do have one couple and one individual has come this morning. And the individual is Nakia. And Nakia, what's your last name again? Basinger. Nakia Basinger. A couple of weeks she got saved and she went out of town. And now she's coming to have a public profession of her faith. She trusted Christ. And all excited about that, say amen. 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 Make sure you come up and give her the right hand of fellowship. After